Hit 107 and the Adelaide Crows present...
Hodgie Adley!
The Podcast.
Jenkins, up high! Marks turns, runs, and he kicks it!
Welcome to round 10 of the Podcast. This is big for us this week because we've got the man behind the news. He is the news this week in JJ. And of course, we've got the J-Pod himself.
Hey,
Beck Goddard. How are you all, guys?
Hi.
I'm well.
Good to have you here. Let's get straight into this one. I was actually nervous to talk to you this week. I wanted to know how you're going to go.
You were nervous.
Yeah. But you're back in the team. So it made me, as soon as I saw that
yes.
in, I thought this is going to be a much gentler show. It's going to be good
back.
Fun for
still
us all.
Still hot in here for me.
How do you feel, mate? Because I was actually talking to Rue and I said, what do I say to JJ? What's it like as a player when you go back to the twos, you know, and you're a big name player? Well, he didn't spend a lot of time back there, did he? But I said, mate, what should I ask him? And he just said, what's it like in terms, is there nerves in going, what if I play bad today and then I play bad next week and I'm never back?
Yeah.
What kind of doubts
go through
your head?
You've got to try and alleviate as much of that stuff as you can and just play. I actually used it as a bit of a circuit breaker and went back, tried to have some fun, which we did. I reckon I played with 12 guys who are on our list who I've never played with before. So had a bit of fun with those guys. The first half was quite ugly for all of us, myself included. And then we got rolling and got a great win. So I just tried to have as much fun as I could with it. And fortunately, I'm back in the side.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I want to know, though, what's it like when you looked around the change room and you did see different faces and you're sort of putting the socks on? At what point do you go, oh, God, I'm not playing with the regular team here.
And the change rooms are shoebox.
Yeah, the change rooms are quite small.
What do you miss about elite football compared to playing in the sandful?
It gives you a little bit more appreciation for how good our facilities are. But it's just a lot different. But, we've all played different levels of footy. I grew up in Swan Hill in country Victoria. So the SANFL is still a pretty good standard and pretty good set of facilities when you've come from a place like that. But... look, it was actually enjoyable, and that was the only way you can really treat it, I think. You can either look at it as a bit of a punishment and sulk and probably, like you said, end up there for the rest of the season, or you can embrace it, have fun, and just play the game.
Is it true that you were just a little bit hurt when you came back from those ribs? Maybe you came back a bit early and you weren't feeling completely confident, but now you are?
Oh, probably. Certainly confidence levels were not where I would have liked them, and that plays into the way you perform. So it all looks great in hindsight now, but fortunately, being able to go back last week, play quite well.
Did you punish your opponent that day? Did you really get the confidence back?
No, I didn't.
Anyone sled you? Your guy you were
yeah,
playing
there was
on?
There was actually a man in a Crows jacket. There was a man in a Crows jacket who followed me from end to end. Gave me stick all day, and then I think kicked a goal late in the game and pretty much sealed the game for us, or ensured we weren't going to lose, and he was my biggest fan, so won him over.
Pods, you obviously spent a lot of time in the twos before you were unearthed and came up into the Geelong's major team, a twos specialist. What's it like when someone like a JJ, a big name, comes back and plays with you?
Well, yeah, the other side of the coin is always that from an opposition perspective. I mean, I played in the VFL for eight or so years, and when a player like JJ came back, in my time, it was like I remember playing on Cameron Mooney came back from Geelong one day, and I was playing at Werribee at the time, and I was a forward, and they thought, Cameron Mooney's coming back, he's a pretty good name, can you go back and play on him? So from my perspective, individually, it was great to play on a guy like JJ at that level who, plays at a high level, quicker, fitter, stronger. So for me, it was great. But also, when we were aligned with the Bulldogs at the time, and a guy like Daniel Cross or something like that got dropped at the time, who was a well-known AFL player. He actually gave you a bit of a buzz to play with these guys too. So there's two sides of the coin.
Let's talk about the win we had. We needed it. We had two poor games in a row. Do you think we were good or were they poor? Was it somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, let's not beat around the bush. I mean, they're on the bottom for a reason, so they're not the best team going around. But they have got a pretty good components. I mean, some of their mids are playing pretty good footy. I mean, they're winning the contested ball pretty well. Some of their stoppage work is still pretty good. So I thought our mids actually answered some of the questions that got asked in the previous weeks in that space. And I thought the backs, obviously, they got a pretty young, talented forward line. We're on top there as well. But our forwards.
And how'd you find the first gamers? The Galooch. Because you and I, at the start of the year, I said, will the Galooch play? And he said, maybe a little later down the track.
You love the Galooch, don't you?
I love the Galooch.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It was very exciting to see him get a game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Huey Greenwood, we'll talk about Huey first. I mean, fantastic background in elite basketball, really.
JJ, how good did you want him to play when you see a new guy coming? Huey Greenwood.
Not as well as he did.
No, it's a different role.
Yeah, it's a different position. But, yeah, I met Huey. I was one of the first players that met Huey when he came to town. Obviously, Hamish Ogilvie, we thought the basketball background would mean we had something in common. So it's just amazing. Oh, it's amazing, but it's also getting to know him. You shouldn't be surprised to know or to understand that he's played AFL so quickly, because he just, from the moment he set foot in the door, he's very confident. He knew what he wanted, and he's already gone out and got it.
One skill that we see as coaches that sort of translates really well from basketball to football is his ability to apply pressure. I mean, when he comes at you, and if you've got the ball, his ability to flick the ball down or intercept a handball is unbelievable. And he's clean on the ground, which is something he's worked really hard on, because that's something that you don't see in basketball at all. But his ability to apply pressure, we loved. And then Gallucci last week, man, playing his first game. These guys, you know, 18-year-olds, we want to play them to see how they go and see where they're at a little bit. But most of them are a fair way off. But I think Gallucci, with his athletic capability, he came in and played a pretty good role for us as well.
Is it always a fun game when you get a first gamer in there?
Do you feel a little bit of spice? Unless you play at Geelong and you're not allowed to have a Gatorade shower.
Is that right? Is that the new
season? No Gatorade showers down there. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's a fact. Gatorade showers.
What happens if you do it?
No, there's a bit of a background.
Yeah,
there
is.
Yeah. I was actually there when that started, though. There's a bit of respect to the first gamer, not to drown him in Gatorade. Also respect to the person cleaning it up, too.
That's a $300 million stadium there as well.
That's where the money's gone, mate. What
was the question again?
I don't even remember. It's been a bigger week of
what
footy.
What are the women's? What did we do with the first gamers this year? Did we explain?
A lot of them,
isn't it? All of us were covered in it. In particular, me. I went through 3 pairs of shoes in the first 3 rounds. So I'm sending the invoice through to Fakes. They're expensive Italian shoes, guys.
Ben, got some questions for you. You ran in here, and about 5 minutes late, and you went, "It's bloody trade period." Update us.
Trade period for the AFLW finishes at lunchtime today. So we actually didn't have too much business to do, but Kelly Gibson, unfortunately for us, wants to go home. She's a Perth girl. She misses her life there. She's really homesick.
What teams are there?
Just Freo.
Just Freo.
And look, I think it takes a big person to leave home and make the decision that she did as a young person. It takes an even bigger person to turn around and say, look, at what life in Adelaide just wasn't for me. So she's going, but at the same time, we've got to try and get a good deal for our club. So
how does it work? I saw you had 20 players locked in, and that's all you're allowed to have, 20.
We have to delist 5 under the rules.
So 5 premiership players will...
Well, we had 2 that actually didn't play out of our 27. They didn't play a game for the Crows, and Jasmine Anderson and Lauren O'Shea. And then we had some injured players in Monique Hollick, who had a finger and some recurring soft tissue injuries. And we had Sophie Armistead, who had some meniscus damage. And
who makes that call? Is it you?
Yeah, it is.
Tough call to make?
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, you know, Heather Anderson completely popped her shoulder again and had to have another reconstruction. So those girls, those conversations they expected, and we've told them that if they heal well, they'll be strongly considered in the draft again, because they already know what it's about and they're quality players.
And last time we spoke, we were talking to Erin Phillips, and you were sitting on something. I could tell. You're keeping there.
Well,
said,
she's back.
Don't
you
be
know.
Hiding stuff on the podcast.
She's back, and you
had mail. You could have broken it here.
We'll blame Shuts for that one. she had some, you know, commitments with Dallas that she had to get announced first before we could announce her. So that's great for her. But you know, she and I spoke even as late as yesterday, and she's so stoked to be coming back. And you talk about players that cross over from basketball. What a player she is. You know, those freak one-handed skills as well as the pressure that Pods is talking about. It's exactly what we want and what we need.
This week, round 10, we're playing Fremantle, and it is Indigenous round. Always one of the more special rounds at for the AFL for that year in the Indigenous game. Quick little question for us here. Which is your favourite Indigenous player just across the
question
league all time?
Yeah. I've gone a little bit left field, and I'm only saying it because he's... saying it because he's a mate of mine, but I spent time with him at the Bombers. Typically, a lot of the Indigenous guys are fast. They're shorter guys. They run up and down the field like Charlie and Eddie and those guys. But mine's actually Ruckman, and he plays for Port.
Paddy.
His name's Paddy Ryder.
He's a legend, isn't he?
You don't see a lot of Indigenous Ruckman or, you know, key position players, and his touch and the goal he kicked last on Friday night. So he's a great player, great guy as well. So a little bit biased, but he can have my gig.
I think we'd have to go with Macca though, surely. Number 23, Andrew McLeod.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'd be pretty handy in this day and age too, wouldn't he? With his speed off halfback.
I think anyone who grew up in that period as a kid, he was just about everyone's hero. But obviously I'm South Australian, you guys aren't. Was he as big across the entire league? Was he a lot of people's
absolutely.
Top five?
You knew about him back in Victoria. Yeah. When you win two Norm Smiths, I mean...
I put together my top. I'm going to go my top two. I'll go top three. Macca, Eddie, and then Stiffy.
why Stiffy? For more, I just love the stories?
Just Johncock.
Or?
No, just Johncock coming off halfback. Yeah. And as when you're a kid and there was a player called Stiffy, you just wanted to say it over and over and over. You just got away with saying something like that. What about to play against? You said so. Paddy Ryder's obviously your opponent. What about you, J-Pod?
Oh, look, I think there's some great Aboriginal players or Indigenous players that have played our game. You look at Adam Goods, Michael Long. I think Michael Long, for me, is a guy I look at to... He really started the movement about... you know, encouraging people to understand what the Indigenous culture is. And I got lucky my first 2 years in AFL football was at Essendon. And to see how long he went about it, and did you see him, JJ?
I had a little bit to do with him.
He was just phenomenal. And the amount of people he gets behind his causes is just fantastic. So I really loved what Michael Long did.
I think football's one of the major things that brings different cultures together. And I'd say, look, I run in two worlds. I was from a football background, even in the arts background. And a lot of people I know who were in the arts or other parts of life didn't actually get to meet that many Indigenous people. But I went to a school called Aquinas in Perth for a year, and we used to play against Clontarf College. And so they're in a full Indigenous school. So a lot of your best friends were Aboriginal guys. And you go, that's where you mostly met, was through the football club, was different Aboriginal guys. And that's how you really got those friends.
I reckon this round, to be honest, I reckon it's the best theme round out of all the one in the AFL. 100%. And I reckon the reason is, like, I love hearing about Australia's history. And as a kid in primary school and high school, you learn a little bit about the Indigenous culture, but nowhere near as much as what you should. And right now, the amount of stories that come up from even today, we got a story on how our jumper was designed. I mean, fantastic story. But I listened to Eddie Betts on the radio the other day. He talked about his learning things about his culture that he didn't know as well, which is so powerful. Yeah, he was just talking about how much he loves hearing about his own culture, and he hasn't known that much about it really, and to hear about all the different people from different parts of Australia and different what they're known for, whether they're known for warriors, whether they're known for their hunting and gathering and whatever it is. So it's a great round to hear all these stories and the history of our
I'll tell you what, the jumper goes pretty quick too, doesn't it? It's always the most sold out Guernsey. People love that.
Adelaide do out the jumper the best out of any team, easily.
And we're lucky we get to play at home most years too. We fill the Adelaide Oval, and it's going to be pretty special. I know there's a lot of lights and stuff are going to go out tonight.
There'll be a pre-game show.
Yes, get there nice and early is the message, I think, so you can get past all the security and then get
Will it be like the MCG,
the
bonfire styles?
I'm not sure. Not sure. I'll be in the rooms underneath, so I won't get to see it. But it's supposed to be magnificent.
All right. Well, as we move on, I want to talk hidden talents, because I spoke to Rory Atkins on the Hit 107 Breakfast Show, and the rat decided he would rat on other people on the program. That's the way he's weaseled into media. He's hitting us up all the time. He really, really wants a media career. The blonde hair came all of a sudden. I'm getting Instagram messages left, right and centre saying, get the rat on, the people demand the rat. So when the rat did come on, this is what he revealed about Richie Douglas.
You have one certain teammate. He may be a fellow midfielder who I'm quite close with, but I think it's time for people to know. So we have a violinist amongst us in the midfield group.
Oh.
Who is the violinist?
Who's a violinist?
Someone can actually play the violin.
Is he good?
He's not too bad. It's not your old McDonald's setup on the guitar or anything. He actually knows how to play it. And that is Richard Douglas.
Oh, I've seen him busking with that little Chinese boy before.
Exactly.
Now, Richie, apparently a virtuoso on the violin. Do we think he'd be any good? And did anyone know that he plays the violin?
No, I did not know that. He lives over my back fence, and I've never heard the violin coming.
Have you heard a cat screeching instead? Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
I see him as like a Sherlock type, and he plays it when he's stressed.
Tell you what, the one thing I'll take, Rory is desperate for some attention.
You think he's made it up?
The hair. Yeah. Get it? He's made that up.
Well, that's sure. That's actually, rat's hidden talent is making up stories.
Well, there you go.
You think he's a fake news peddler?
He's made that up.
Well, I mean, it got on the show. We're having him back. I mean, the producer loved it. He's given us nuggets. Is there any hidden talents that you guys could add to? Anyone here from all the different teams?
Oh, look, we've got quite a few musicians in our team. Well, a lot of the girls that like to sing, play guitar. Myself, I can also play the trumpet. I made $164 busking out the front of a St Kilda game once. I'm playing Oh When the Saints Go Marching In.
Just over and over.
It's the only song I can play on the trumpet, so I may as well toot my horn where I can. But, yeah, no, the girls are really quite talented musicians.
They are. They had a good sing-along before. Was it night before the grand final?
Yeah, it
I
was
saw
the
a
night
video online.
The
Some whoever was playing the guitar was unbelievable.
I know Marinoff. She works.
You love Marinoff.
I love Marinoff.
Oh.
How can you not though? She works at Foodland and she can cut a mean ham.
That's her hidden talent.
Her hidden talent. She is at the deli. Yeah. We have her on the show so often that people have started specifically going down there just for the chat with Ebony Marinoff. Because what opportunity do you get in life to have a professional sportsman where you can just have that kind of access to see them in a hand net?
This is true.
You get photos over the counter with her?
Yeah, well, she's driving our streetcar now.
You have to take a number though.
You do have to take numbers. Yeah. And she drives with us now, and she says the best thing about having this job is that she gets to drive the car.
Wow.
Anyone else talented that you ever played with, Pods?
I've got none. I'm trying to think of mine. I've got none.
No, I've got nothing.
Anyone else a surfer with us? Or?
Oh, there's a lot of guys.
Rory Sloane's a gun. I've actually, I won't say surfed with Rory. I've been out in the water with him, and he's an absolute jet. Like,
can I ask with surfing? There seems to be a lot of surfers. Okay, in the AFL. Yep. We know Danger loves his surf. Okay. But is it not dangerous? Like, if you're a club and you wanted to go skydiving, people would go, oh, what's he skydiving for? But if you go out there in the water...
Well, there's actually an interesting clause in the AFLW contracts. I don't know if this is in your contract, JJ, that you've got to actually steer
Speaking about
clear
contracts,
of other...
You asked the right guy.
Yeah.
He read every line.
Of sports that might be dangerous. So, you know, Taylor Harris, for example, is a boxer, and she wanted to box for the warm-up game between Mundine and Green. And the AFL said, no, your football club said, no, you can't do that because you're playing a game the next day.
Would have put up a better fight than that Jack McInnes bloke.
I guess if someone was to get injured, I think it would quickly see surfing on banned, I reckon.
Golf's okay. Everyone seems to play. Who's the best golfer?
What are you fearful about surfing?
Well, no, I was listening to some people talk about it. I said, yeah, I mean,
well, it's
what
more
if,
chance
what if
of you getting
Brownlow
in a car
medalist
accident
got eaten?
Riding to work than he's getting bitten by a shark.
But imagine Dangerfield got chomped on the leg. That's it.
His 60 minute story would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We obviously watched the Power game Thursday night. Did anyone?
Mm. Yes.
We all watch that game.
Yep,
Thursday night footy. Love it.
Very enjoyable. Daisy Pearce, my favourite commentator on the boundary at the moment.
She is good, actually. Yeah. Yes, very good. And the Connor Sports Management Group.
Where's the ching ching sound?
So she's got a whopper of a deal then. Dixon lines up for that goal, and we see a free kick paid that probably hasn't been paid in a couple of years. I don't know how aware you're in your afford. How aware of it are you, the 30-second countdown rule? Oh. To me, it looked like it started too early. He was still on the floor.
No, he just took too long to get up and get back. I'm very aware of it. My girlfriend's even more aware of it because I always let it go down to 3 or 2 seconds and she's not happy. But I always look at it and I actually use
watching
it.
The replay, is that why? Or?
I use it to... Players used to get criticised for looking at the replay. Yeah. A lot of them are actually looking at the countdown clock. I use it to my advantage because I try and take 28 seconds to get my breath back and whatever before I have a shot. So he just, and fair enough, under that pressure, didn't have the awareness to have a look at the clock because you could just see it on the scoreboard. It was counting down. It took him about 10 seconds to get up. So he only had stuff and all the time when he actually got to the top of his mark.
Does it feel obtrusive against the feel of the game to pay that free kick there at that moment? I mean, very rarely
it wasn't
is paid.
A free kick.
No, it's not a free kick.
Not the free kick, but
play on,
but to make it on. To make it play on, though.
Yeah. No.
Okay, well,
I think
I was just reading Graham Corns, and Graham was very, very displeased. He said, these umpires are just ruining the flow of a match of football.
Well, you read the rules. It's pretty black and white.
This is what gets annoying. 5 years ago, however long it was, Matthew Lloyd and those guys were taking so long, and everyone was saying, this is disgraceful. I'm sick of waiting
for these guys. Hence
why it came in. And now one player in Danger got called for play on when he was playing for us. Having to run around three blokes and kick the goal, so it didn't affect him. But that's why the rules come in. We're just trying to chase our tail. Whatever happens, we don't like. But the rule is, as Pod said, straightforward.
Let's talk about your famous segment on the show now, mate, where you call the player.
Yep.
We're going to go with Hardigan today. Just signed a contract.
We're going to try and call Kyle Hardigan.
Another defender?
Yeah, mate.
Oh, we've had Tex. Sorry.
Yeah.
And what was his deal?
He just signed a three-year deal. And I just thought, you know, he's a almost a fully qualified electrician. And I thought, let's ask him some questions about if you had some issues at home, which I do, okay. and some of our listeners potentially do. Let's see if they're going to fix them for us.
Hello?
Kyle Hardigan, James Podziadli.
How are you, James?
Good, mate.
What's going on?
Mate, look, obviously you've signed a three-year deal with the Crows, and you've talked footy all week, but we've got some listeners that actually have some electrical issues at home. So I've got a couple of questions for you, if you could help them out.
I'll tell them to call an electrician.
Well, that's why we're calling you.
I'll tell them to call a good one then.
So anyway, the first one is from Steve from Sturt. Interesting.
Thanks for your call, Steve.
High electrical bill. Anything you can do to decrease the cost of the electrical bill?
Yeah, turn the lights off when you leave the room.
Like it? Anything else?
Solid.
Turn the heater off and the aircon when you don't need it. Don't leave it on all day. Get some solar panels.
That's elite, Kyle. Thanks very much. The other one we've got here from, it's Beth from Berwick. I don't know where that is. Her circuit keeps tripping when the microwave and the washing machine's on.
Yep.
What do we do, mate?
Well, flick the circuit back on and then...
Doesn't that cause a power surge?
Well... Nah, it won't. If you flick it back on, turn one of the appliances off and then figure out it could be the appliance. So flick one of the appliances on. And if it doesn't flick off with that one, then it might be the other one. So try the other one.
I'll tell you what, it's a good thing you got the three-year football deal because...
mate, your life after footy's set, I reckon. Great work. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, mate. Really appreciate it.
no worries. Thanks for having me.
See you, mate.
There's Kyle Hardigan. Pretty poor when it comes to electrical knowledge.
Yeah,
it was.
How many of the players have a
trade school for mine? I reckon.
Well, a lot of our players. We've got Emma Barr, who heads up our welfare and wellbeing development for our players, and the majority of our players do something outside of footy. So JJ is obviously pretty interested in the media. So he's on a quite popular podcast, which we all know about.
In the huddle.
An article. And for Twitter. Yeah.
He's on that. Writes an article. We've got some players doing marketing courses at uni. Some guys are doing real estate courses. So let's say I'm
a 19-year-old and I'm at the football club and I'm okay.
Firstly, work on your skin folds. so let's just start there. Forget about off-field stuff.
I said, no, I don't want to do anything else but football, would you guys be pushing me to go to uni, go to TAFE, something like that?
Yeah, I think the first year or so, 2 years, I think a player almost has to do his football university degree.
Yep.
Understand what it takes to be a professional. And then from there, it's really, really important to have something, number one, to go home to and get your mind off footy. But number two, footy ends up finishing pretty quickly. So it's quite important in that term.
I was actually interested listening to the Cats from that premiership team 2007, the 10-year reunion. 18 of those guys now work in football.
I heard that stat. I'm not sure whether that's right or not, because I know there's probably... Ooh. Not currently, because there's a few that I'm pretty close with that don't work in footy. But when you're successful, people want to know why you're successful. And that's why these guys,
so it's a pretty good indicator if you've come from a good football club, if people keep working in the football industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so, yes.
That's what, you look at all the coaches and all the players that become great coaches. Most of them have got some sort of success there.
All right, let's get to your top four, JJ.
Let's.
Can I just ask, why is it a top four and not a five or a 10 or a, you
what
know, hot three
do
at
I
three?
Wear,
oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, no.
I made this error a week one, too.
That was really dumb, wasn't it? Well, I just didn't even think of that because I'm always thinking about you outside
it's all about
of
me,
football. Outside of football context. So.
He's got his own opener as well,
and that's
updated
why,
every
yeah.
week.
It's called the podcast, but it's the JJ show to hear.
That's right.
JJ's top four.
I'm glad you did ask because there would certainly
there would be
some
there right. would be some listeners
new listeners
because
as we
they like
to
think of you outside of football. I'm sure.
Yeah, but it's the four. And it's easier than thinking out five as well. Less research. But this week, after being banished to the SNFL last week, and now making my
four worst coaching decisions of all time. He's running with.
They reckon Pods played a huge hand at match committee too. Just grabbed the magnet and tossed it in the trash. But I'm back, so I've made my own comeback. So top four comebacks. Mm-hmm. Number four is actually Michael Jordan's return to the basketball court.
Number four.
Geez,
these next three are going to be high.
Oh, they'll be good. Oh, wow. 17 months he went off and played baseball for. Very poorly, isn't it? Yes.
On the bus with Jordan.
Jordan rides the bus. Yeah. Very good doco if you want to watch that, Amos.
What number did he wear when he came back?
He wore 45.
Well done.
Well, I can't remember what that reason was for. Was it? Was they retired it already or something?
No, it was something about his dad, wasn't it? His dad was the last number he saw his dad wore.
And then afterwards, this is getting very acute.
You do, yeah.
Luke Shencher, do you know who Luke Shencher is?
I do not.
He's an Adelaide-based basketball player, went to the Chicago Bulls and wore number 45 straight after Michael Jordan. Well, 7'2" for Sam.
Is he here?
He's around town, yeah. Number three is last season's Super Bowl. 21-3 at halftime. You'd think that 21-3, you're right. Mm. Then to go on and score the first points of the second half as well, 28-3. So New England's comeback, 25-point deficit. And have the Falcons just, they may as well shut the doors after that. Number two, and I have to get a little bit biased here, is got to include the Crows, the miracle at Etihad. 4 years Kangaroos ago game. Today, Indigenous round, the Crows were down by 30 points, 11 minutes into the fourth quarter, and we come back and won. And fittingly, an Indigenous player, Jared Petrenko, kicked the game-winning goal.
Kicked it
out of the air.
Watch that game.
Wow.
Bloody crap myself when he didn't. He should have grabbed it and kicked it, but he kicked it out of the air, and we won that game. That was the most unbelievable game I've ever played in. And number one, we've gone away from sport here. It was a man who wrote the foreword to his own book 20 years ago because he was retiring. And he has never retired. John Farnham.
Yes.
He's made more comebacks than...
we love that guy. I'm telling you, we love him in the Crows women's team. We love him.
You love him?
Love him.
I was looking it up this morning, and he was quoted. I wrote my own foreword, which I don't think anyone ever does for their own book. Someone else was supposed to write. 20 years ago, because he was retiring. Yeah. And He's the voice.
I love the people that came out and tried to sue John Farnham for that concert he did. It was the last one, and it wasn't the last one. And
he's
they
had
all
50
bought,
of them.
They all bought tickets because it was the last one. Who are these minnows?
So false
thinking,
advertising, is that what you're saying?
Who are they thinking suing John Farnham? Like, just get on with your daily life.
So, John Farnham still making headlines, number one in the top four.
There you go.
Well done.
It's a very good top four, mate. We're happy to have you back. I mean, let's put that at number one. That's my number one.
It is. Also, I don't want the people of Adelaide to think I'm uneducated about asking you about your number four. I mean, it was just too obvious to me.
It's not the number 23, though. Right. I'm actually a really smart woman.
Yeah.
We remember you, not your number, mate. You're more than that.
Sorry.
More than simple numerology.
That's it. Well, we couldn't do a top 23. Not at your back.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Freo tonight, Indigenous round. Let's hope Eddie Betts does some absolute magic, Charlie. And I have to say, just before the game kicks off, wherever people are listening to this, how do we beat them, Coach?
Oh, look, they're the best score from stoppage team. All right, so their stoppage numbers are pretty good. I think if we win that part of the ground, get it forward to the Josh Jenkins and the Taylor Walkers and the Eddie Betts of the world, we're in pretty good hands down there.
And our first quarters have been piss poor.
What are we doing in the first quarter? Not tonight.
How do we change that? Are you going to rev them up?
I'm not going to rev them up. All I'm saying is it won't happen tonight.
Right. Good news. There you go. All right. And thank you very much to Pods, Beck Goddard and JJ. We'll be back again next week.
Quote of the day before we go, perhaps?
Well, no. I think
what are we doing
I
now?
Like
well,
that.
How are we finishing?
My
how
quote of the day is, it won't happen tonight.
It won't happen tonight.
Right. We'll leave it
Can I ask? I went down to the bunker the other night. And you
is
can
that behind the...
The glass. So we can watch you guys. Yeah. You can't see in, can you?
No.
And familiar with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can? Yeah, well... It's very, just to let you know from a fan's perspective, seeing players sort of put hands down pants, it's very perverse. I don't know who allowed that to happen. I wouldn't be big on it if I was you
it's
guys.
It's a great experience. You should book it.
Well, you're not.
You should book it.
Mate, it's not you're not in the shower. Like, you're not. Yeah. The mirror's not like in the shower in the boys' locker room. It's in the warm-up area.
We all remember what happened to Ricky Henderson when he's readjusting.
Whatever you choose to focus on is your issue, mate, all right? Okay. The boys are there warming up.
Big thanks to Toyota, as always, been our sponsors for forever. And go to www.afc.com if you want to see any more Crow stuff. Of course, it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. JJ's on Twitter. He's got some good articles on there. Check it all out.
Beck's on Twitter too. My numbers have gone up since I've done
my
podcast.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, like I'm on 1,500 now.
At Beck G, what is it?
No, it's Beck Goddard 22, the double ducks. That's my number, JJ, in case you ever wanted
to
know.
Top 22. That's what we're doing next week.
Are you running
22.
On Twitter?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
No. I'm just... Get where that. I love what the club's doing. I'm on the club hashtags.